Good morning. It's Kevin Bay. This is Chasing the Yield for July 19th, 2021, episode number 13. We're having quite a day today in the markets. Quite a day. So we'll look into that a little bit. I'd like to mention that you can listen to this podcast on PodFriend or some other new podcasting app that supports the value for value podcasting model. You can hit the donate button on my website if you feel like sending me a few bucks. But the value for value model and the new podcast apps that support that allow you to stream fractions of Bitcoin, Satoshis. If you don't know what that is, I forgot what the website is. I should link to that. It's like valueforvalue. If you just go to Podcasting 2.0, their podcast, and podcastindex.org, newpodcastapps.com, I'm pretty sure there are links there that can show you different ways to get into this. It's not that difficult. You can... Using these apps, you can import money using fiat currency, using like the Cash App or something like that. You can buy Satoshis. It doesn't cost much. You know, one Satoshi is like a fraction of a penny. So you can choose to stream bits, and if there's something you like, you can also choose to boost a certain number of Satoshis if, you know, as like a tip if you like something. So let's just kind of get into this today. Things are a little bit nutty out there. So here we are, looking at the markets. Here's the Wall Street Journal's market data. Right now it's down, the Dow Jones down 2.23%, S&P is down 1.5%, NASDAQ down about 1%, the Nikkei is down 1.25%, the UK FTSE down 2.52%, crude oil is down 6.5%. Gold futures are down. The yen is down. The euro is flat. That's a if you're somebody like me who is in retirement, early retirement, and you're investing for income, okay? This is where my money comes from right now. I'm no longer investing for growth. If growth happens, it's great. It's like a pleasant side effect. But it's not the main purpose. The main purpose for me is to try to maintain principal. So market fluctuations, if it goes down, that's fine. You know, days like today don't make me feel very good, but it's fine because that's the strategy, is that the principal overall, over a long period of time, from where I am now until the time I die, at least the principal should remain roughly the same. If I gain, great. If I lose a little, that's also fine. But what I'm after is the monthly income to support a lifestyle. And right now, you know, I'm at the point where I'm getting income. You know, that's my dividend and income is all I have coming in. I'm not holding a regular job. You know, I do have other small sources of income, but the main part of my income is coming from dividends. And you know, I will hit full Social Security age in 67. So that's in 13 years, roughly. 13 and a half years. So my goal right now is to maintain my current level of lifestyle, you know, by the time I get to Social Security. And hopefully nothing happens to Social Security, you know, beyond a few minor adjustments, because then once that kicks in, plus the additional dividend income, things will be a little bit more comfortable, you know. But the goal is right now to you know, live relatively modestly. I'm not suffering by any means, you know, but you have to watch things when you don't have a regular income stream. And, you know, the advantage here too is that I can always get a part-time job or whatever, you know, just to kind of fill some gaps if necessary. But right now, I'm in a fairly decent position where I don't have to do that at the moment. And days like today just make life interesting. So where are we again? Still the same. So it's not too bad. My portfolios are all down today in a similar fashion. You know, I won't even really bother to look at them until late in the day when this little bloodletting is all over. But it seems, according to the Wall Street Journal, that the drop today is kind of a multi-pronged event where the dreaded Delta variant, governments are continuing to do crazy things with this Delta variant and the vaccine and opening and closing things up. The UK did something crazy that angered a lot of their citizens because they went on vacation to France, and France is on some list that if they come back now, they have to quarantine for 10 days. Vaccinated or not, so I don't know. These kinds of things that the things that governments are doing right now is just causing all kinds of uncertainty. It's very difficult to plan, very difficult to conduct business, very difficult to go back to work when you just have no idea what's going to happen. So the price of oil dropped today because OPEC also solidified their compromise, which I have a story about that. But today's a wild ride, so hang in there, folks. I'm sure everything will be all right. From the past week, Johnson & Johnson had some problems. The FDA added a warning to the label for their vaccine that states that there may be a elevated risk of contracting Guillain-Barré syndrome. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. It seems the risk is relatively low compared to a lot of other side effects from vaccines. This one, caused the FDA to add an additional warning. So in the CNN report, it says U.S. Food and Drug Administration updated the label on Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine Monday to warn of the possible increased risk of a rare neurological complication known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. While the FDA said it had not established the vaccine could cause the syndrome, it noted an increase in reports of the sometimes paralyzing condition. Today, the FDA is announcing revisions to the vaccine recipient and vaccination provider fact sheets for the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, to include information pertaining to an observed increased risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome following vaccination, it said in a statement sent to CNN. So that was the first one. The next one was Johnson & Johnson decided to recall some sunscreen sprays under the brand Aveeno and Neutrogena. Supposedly there are levels of benzene. And in the Wall Street Journal, the article said Johnson & Johnson's recalling most of its Neutrogena and Aveeno spray sunscreens from U.S. stores after detecting benzene, a potentially cancer-causing chemical in some samples. J&J said Wednesday consumers should stop using and discard 5 of its 6 Neutrogena and Aveeno spray sunscreens. The company said it's also notifying distributors and retailers to stop selling the products and arranging for the return of the products. Company spokesman said the effort would include removing products from shelves. So a couple of, smacks around for J&J this past week. Let's see, what else did I have here? There was another one on Johnson & Johnson. Oh, it was a story I ran across in Yahoo News. Let's see here. I did not open that one. So there are rumors that J&J may offload its baby powder liabilities to a separate entity and have it declare bankruptcy. That would further limit plaintiffs' ability to seek higher payouts. So that's kind of interesting. I guess as a strategy, I'm not getting into the politics or the, whether or not J&J is right, J&J is wrong. This is just really something as how it affects the company's stock performance and what could have a hit on their dividend. That jingle bell you hear is my French bulldog, is my Italian greyhound dog. And we keep a bell on her because she's light as a feather and walks around. You don't know where she is, so she's like a cat. You accidentally step on her, and she's so tiny that you could snap off her legs if you step on her. So what we do is we put a little bell around her neck, and that lets us know where she's at. So I've got three dogs in my office here. If you hear snorting, farting, barking, that's a result of that. I don't do any editing, so it's just part of the show. Enjoy. So as a strategy, you know, that could help investors of J&J. So regardless of whether you agree with the strategy, it's something that they may be employing. Whoops, that's one I posted today. Okay, so we move along to Microsoft. Microsoft had a thing where they were putting the blame on an Israeli group for selling a hacking tool. They're making the claim that they sold a tool that was capable of cracking into Windows. In Reuters, they say an Israeli group sold a tool to hack into Microsoft Windows. Microsoft and technology human rights group Citizen Lab said on Thursday, shedding light on the growing business of finding and selling tools to hack widely used software. The hacking tool vendor named Candiroo, maybe, created and sold a software exploit that can penetrate Windows, one of many intelligence products sold by a secretive industry that finds flaws in common software platforms for their clients, said a report by Citizen Lab. This isn't the only tool out there that can crack into Windows. I have one myself that, computer science is my background, and I was doing a lot of support for computers in my company that I was working at several years ago. And part of it, sometimes we would run across a machine that we could not log into. You know, somebody left the company, didn't change passwords, or, you know, didn't do something properly. Or even, you know, cases where people forgot their passwords. So I had to, and I can't remember the name of the tool. I have it somewhere. But it pretty easily cracked right into Windows login. I had no trouble at all. So it's not the only thing that exists. I think if people understand that, you know, your operating systems are not secure and to just be careful, encryption needs to be a more valuable tool for us to use. As mentioned earlier, OPEC reached a compromise with the United Arab Emirates that could lead to a drop in the price of oil, which was happening today. In the post-pandemic economy, who knows what effect this will have. I expect we won't notice much of a change in the short term. It's more important to keep an eye out for the long-term trend. Right now, long-term, it looks like oil consumption will continue to increase as underdeveloped countries continue to rely on cheap oil to grow their economies. That's my opinion. In the Wall Street Journal, they reported OPEC members reached the compromise with the UAE agreeing to lift the amount of oil that country can eventually pump as part of a wider agreement with Russia-led producers to boost global supplies. According to people familiar with the matter, the compromise reached between Saudi Arabia, the de facto leader of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, aka OPEC, and the UAE is provisional and subject to approval at an as-yet unscheduled meeting of the cartel and a wider group called OPEC Plus that includes Russia-led producers. That means any new output from a broader production increase deal reached earlier this month but held up by the UAE resistance won't hit markets immediately. Other OPEC members could use concessions made to the UAE to argue for increases in their own output inside the group, delegates said. So something to watch. Most of my investments are not with oil producers, but with oil transporters, you know, using MLPs. So hopefully, you know, while my portfolios are down in that respect for those companies as well, hopefully it's not a long-term effect on them, because as oil is still going to have to be used in developing countries because it's the cheapest form of energy for them. It has to be moved around, so that's why I've invested in those types of companies, because the oil will still have to be moved. Hotels may adopt permanent elimination of daily housekeeping service. So I've traveled, you know, I used to travel several times a year, and, you know, you stay in the hotel. And then once, when the pandemic hit, everything changed. So I traveled a couple of times in 2020 where I needed to stay at a hotel. And just recently too. And the Hilton brand, which I use, they have this little seal that they put across your room and they say it's been sanitized and it's sealed. And then they don't provide daily housekeeping services because people, I guess, were initially people, I think, were paranoid for people coming in and out of the rooms, creating an extra vector for them to get infected. So I think what the hotel industry has discovered is, you know, first they had to lay off all these people because nobody was staying at hotels. So that's understandable. But then when people started slowly returning, I think they discovered that the customers themselves didn't care if they got daily housekeeping services, if the room was clean when they got there. Which is not me. I'm not a germaphobe or anything like that. So it doesn't, none of this stuff bothers me. I would much prefer that they come and give me fresh towels and all that kind of stuff. But when I stayed there, you know, at these hotels, I would ask them and they said, no, you have to request it. But the bonus is I was able to request it at the beginning of my stay and say, I want it daily. So then they would just come in and refresh the room daily. But now it seems this policy may be permanent because they've discovered they can get rid of a lot of employees, you know, a lot of cost of labor. And, you know, not only that, but they'll save money in laundry and supplies for, like, you know, shampoo and soaps and all the rest of that stuff because they're not replacing it on a daily basis. So there's a lot of money to be saved in hotels and hospitality. Let's see, the story I have here, I forgot to link it. Out of the Wall Street Journal, in May 2020, as COVID-19 surged in the U.S. and the travel and hospitality industries cratered, the chief executive of Host Hotels and Resorts, a large operator of Hyatt and Marriott hotels, described the pandemic as truly an opportunity to redefine the hotel operating model. And I think this is also what is happening within the airline industry. They use the opportunity of nobody flying to totally reconfigure how they fly. Not just the processes inside the plane, but the hub and spoke model that they've been using in order to move us around the country. So I think they've been able to really kind of take a much better look while nobody's flying and figure out maybe a more efficient way and a cost-effective way to get people around. But with the hotels, what made me believe that daily housekeeping will be going away as a normal thing rather than an abnormal thing is something from Hilton. In that story, they say, last week, Hilton Worldwide announced the Clean Stay program. Clean Stay has been a program for a while, saying that most of its U.S. properties are adopting a flexible housekeeping policy with daily service available upon request. That's key. A flexible housekeeping policy with daily service available upon request. Excuse me. Full deep cleanings will be conducted prior to check-in and on every fifth day for extended stays. Daily housekeeping will still be free for those who request it. Now, that's the key sentence that leads me to believe that they are going to start or stop daily housekeeping and maybe even add a fee on later. So using the airline model of extra baggage fees for every bag you want to carry that used to be free, you know, they didn't lower the price of the ticket and start charging you for bags. They kept the price of the ticket the same and charged you for bags. And so this is, I can see this as an added value for hotel chains where they will charge you the same amount for the room, but now they're going to start nickel and diming you on everything else in the hotel for all the amenities that you used to get for free that was an attraction to go in. But we'll see what happens. That sentence is the one that just kind of clicked it for me. It says here that Hilton businesses will be higher margin and require less labor than they did pre-COVID. So that also tells you there that they're looking forward to reducing that cost of labor. Okay, so that, I gotta follow my own stuff here. Okay, so that, I reached the end of that. Okay. Let's see what's happening in the market right at the moment. Ooh, it's even further down. 2.3% for the Dow, 1.6 for the S&P, 1.08 for the NASDAQ, and on and on. So things are still jumping around down at the bottom. All right. I'm going to try something new, a little bit new this week. Try to do a company focus. Maybe I'll do it once. I don't know if I'll do it once a week, but you know, once in a while when I have something good to focus on. So Simply Safe Dividends is a website that I use to track and research stocks, mainly, you know, research stocks and track my portfolios. It has a very easy and friendly interface to see how all of your holdings are performing, the income you're getting from them, you know, the current yields that you're getting from them. And then, you know, also it's got a very nice tool for the stocks that they watch, for the dividend stocks that they watch, for research to see, you know, they have a screener tool that will allow you to see what companies are fitting the strategy that you want. And that's how I came up with my three different portfolio strategies. I have the low yield, the medium yield, and the high yield. So the low yield portfolio, and all these portfolios are all linked on my website showing the companies that I purchased. They, you know, that allowed me to look at, okay, with the low yield, you know, that one's mainly for it's in an IRA, so it's money that I can't even touch. You know, can't get any distributions from. So with that one, I was more concentrating on some growth and a moderate dividend. So the portfolio itself will grow over time. So when I can finally take some distributions, it'll be larger. So that one is focused a little bit more on growth and not for income, because I can't take it anyway. The medium yield portfolio represents half of my income, current income that I take in, and it's designed to, it's where I have the bulk of my funds. So it's designed to be not so volatile, and to continue to pay me an adequate amount of money to help with my daily needs. But it's less risky because the companies that are invested in are way less volatile price-wise and more secure dividend-wise. And using Simply Safe Dividends tools, they have a really nice dividend safety score that they use, and it looks at several factors to obtain that score. And all, if you want to know how they come up with all of that, it's all on their website. They explain the philosophy and what they look at in order to come up with their safety score. So then I have the high yield portfolio, which that one is far more risky. It's far more concentrated in the sectors. It's not very diversified, is what I mean. There's 10 holdings in that portfolio, and those 10 holdings also bring in half of my income. But it, you know, the principal amount is much less. So I'm risking less, even though the investments themselves are higher risk. So it's a portfolio I watch more closely. And if I feel either a change, drastic change in dividend, or a drastic change in the company itself, you know, because these are not the Procter and Gambles of the world, you know, the Johnson and Johnsons, the, you know, companies that are more stable. So that one I watched closely. So one of the companies that they looked at recently and updated their score on was Prudential Financial. I have a holding in Prudential, and they were, it's a service. Let's see, what did I explain here? Okay, yeah, I just basically went through what I just explained. So from their analysis of Prudential, I won't give you the whole analysis because it's Simply Safe Dividends is a not a free service. So if you want the full service of them, they have a account that you can get for free to try it out. But if you're going to use it, I think it's past 14 days, you have to pay. It's not cheap, but it's well worth it. The information is fantastic. From their analysis, they said during the pandemic, Prudential reviewed the potential losses in its investment portfolio would incur over a three-year recession cycle. Management concluded that the credit losses over that period will be $2.4 billion, or less than 1 year of Prudential's free cash flow. This suggests Prudential will not be one of the firms that need to raise more capital during most downturns. Regardless, Prudential has been working to reduce its sensitivity to interest rates as well as the equity markets. They've done so by essentially eliminating the living benefit from its annuity products, which replaced fixed payouts to policyholders with variable payouts that fluctuate with the market, and by selling more straightforward life insurance policies with fewer guarantees. As the firm transforms its flagship insurance and annuity businesses, management also is also looking to grow its investment management arm, 22% of its earnings, and accelerate its global expansion plans into high-growth developing markets in Asia and Latin America. Their conclusion was that there were no changes to the safety score, and Prudential still is a very safe... Well, what was their exact score on that one? Let's see. Well, I should have put that in there. So below is a table of my holdings and its performance so far of Prudential. So it's in my medium yield portfolio. The total cost of my investment there is about $8,200. The current value at the time that I posted that, I don't know what it is today, is almost $11,000. I have 109 shares. The gain as of last Friday was 33.5% in value. Its percentage of my portfolio is less than 1%. It's less than 1% of my income, and annually they pay me $500, roughly. So the yield on cost right now is 6.12%. So I advise you check into Simply Safe Dividends. It's a really good service. They have a lot of great information, and if you, especially if you're new to dividend investing, while the cost of it may be prohibitive, you should at least go and check out the two-week free trial, because it'll be well worth it. At least read all their articles about dividend investing and strategy. You can also listen. There's a podcast that the founder of Simply Safe Dividends was on the New Retirement Podcast, and I have a link to that episode on in the show notes. You can listen to it on Podverse for free, and you should check that out. Update in the portfolio for last week, which I know will be totally different today. But in the past week, the low yield is down 0.86%, down for the month of 0.89%, but still up for the year of 13.66%. The medium yield portfolio is down 1.38%. For the month, it's down 1.7%. And for the year, I'm still up 11.12%. The high-yield portfolio is down 1.95% last week. For the month, down 2.04%. And up still as of Friday. I'm sure it's going to be down this time around. 0.26%. I'm trying to include here some dividend payments that I've been receiving. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to approach this yet, but these are the dividends of the week that I have received over the past week. American Finance Trust, I got $102.85. WP Carey, $97.65. Franklin Resources, $84.84. Leggett & Platt, I received $80.64. Main Street Capital, $45.51. And Bank OZK, I received a dividend of $41.90. So that's just the income over the past week. In dividend news, so I'm going to try to do this a little differently as well. Walgreens is the only one where I had an increase. Walgreens announced their next dividend of 0.4775 cents per share. So 47.75 cents per share, a 2.1% increase over the company's previous payout of 46.75%. The rest of these, I'm just going to list them out. they announced their next dividends, and all of them were in line with their previous payouts. So Fastenal, 28 cents per share. Enterprise, 45 cents per share. P&G, 86.98 cents per share. Coca-Cola, 42 cents per share. New Jersey Resources, 33 and a quarter cents per share. Orchid Island Capital, 6.5 cents per share. Con Ed, excuse me. I'm starting to lose my voice. Con Ed, theirs is 77.5 cents per share. Pepsi, $1.75 cents per share. BP Midstream Partners, 34 and three quarter cents per share. USA Compression, 52.5 cents per share. All of those were announced last week, and they are all in line with their previous payouts. So no decreases and just the one increase in Walgreens. As a reminder, this is a Podcasting 2.0 compatible podcast. So that means that if you're listening to this on a Podcasting 2.0 compatible app, you'll have access to transcripts, chapter, and chapter images that accompany each episode. Please go to newpodcastapps.com to download and support these independent apps, and go to podcastindex.org to support Podcasting 2.0. What they are doing is trying to keep podcasting free and open and independent, and allow people like me to do my podcast without any gatekeepers. This is also a value for value podcast. So I have in the show notes, I have some apps, links to apps that enable the value for value model, and that will allow you to directly support independent podcasters like me. So it's easier than you might think to stream fractions of Bitcoins, otherwise known as Satoshis, to this podcast or any other that is compatible with the value for value model. And this cuts out the need for any advertising, at least hopefully in the future. You can also, if you feel like donating regular dollars, there's a donate button in the show notes and a donate button on my website. Now, the disclaimer, Chasing the Yield, chasingtheyield.com, this podcast, me, Kevin Bay, I'm not a registered investment advisor, broker, or dealer. I may have, and in fact do have, financial interests in many of the instruments, products, or companies that I mention. So anything I talk about, just understand, I most likely own a position in that company or that industry or that sector. The website and the podcast is for information only, and is provided for entertainment and not intended as advice or recommendations. All opinions are my own, and they're from sources believed to be accurate, provided in good faith. No warranty, representation or guarantee expressed or implied is made to the accuracy of the information. If you have any questions regarding any investments, please contact an investment professional. Get professional advice from somebody who's certified at doing this. This is just what I'm doing for my own needs, and I'm just kind of documenting it and podcasting it for my own purposes. If you get something out of it, great, and I would appreciate a little boost or, streaming Satoshis or a couple of bucks if you found any information that I provided valuable. But that's it for this week, Chasing the Yield. I'll be back next Monday with another episode. And hopefully the market will be back up. It's a little hot in this room again today. I gotta really turn up the air. Anyway, I thought that was a much more smooth episode this time. See, maybe I'm getting better at it. Who knows? Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.